So, last couple of weeks, we've been teaching on going from moments to movements. So look at your neighbor and say, moments to movements. That God, we have a moment with God and that it ends up we move with him, right? We don't ever just want to have a moment with God and just like leave it there. God desires us to move. So first week we talked about Abraham. Well, Abram, his name wasn't Abraham yet. Abram, and he has this moment with God where he hears this voice out of nowhere and it tells him to go out from where he was. He follows the voice. He's promised some crazy things. And it came back down to this, that man, he wasn't just moving just because it was a great moment. He wanted to know who called him. The first thing when it comes to going from moments to movements is that, man, we gotta move. Like, man, like God encounters you in a powerful way. He touches your life and you're like, yay, God, everything that I was struggling in, every lie that I believed, it's gone, it's shattered, and now we move from it. Amen. God takes Abram on a journey, and just like that, like Abram, we go on a journey with God. When we move with God, it's on a journey, and there ain't no really destination. But it's really about being with him. The second week, we talked about, man, that Moses had a moment with God, and the purpose of him having a moment with God was to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of sin and slavery and bondage, and to bring them back, guess what? To himself. Back to the moment that Moses had. The thing about it, we go from moments to movements is when we move, and guess what? We're moving towards him. Look at your neighbor, say, move towards him. God's heart is that, man, that there would be a generation, that there would be a people that would be moving towards himself. That John 17:3, one of my favorite scriptures, that this is eternal life, that you would know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. That we don't just have to know a bunch of facts, that we don't have to know a bunch of information, or we don't just have to know a bunch of do's and don'ts, but nah. God wants you to know himself as a friend speaks to a friend, as a father speaks to a child. This is what we get saved into. So we go from this moment, from having a moment, to moving towards himself. That we're going towards God. What do you do after that? You see, man, when people who have been with God, that they become dangerous people. They become dangerous people. Because here's what happens when you're with God. Here's what happens when you have a moment with God. Here's what happens when you start to pursue God, when you start to walk with God. Just like the disciples where Jesus said, follow me, they started following. Guess what ended up happening? They started to be like him. This thing of being with God and you start to be like him. You see, we go from moments to having movements, but then we become the movement. Moments to movements. There's a strange thing that when you start moving towards God, that you actually start moving for God. Let me tell you something, man. The disciples were some jacked up jokers. Jokers didn't know nothing. They were fighting about who was the greatest. They were fighting about, man, who was better than one another. But you know what was crazy? They were with Jesus, and they were doing things like Jesus. They were with Jesus, and they started to get his heart. And here's the crazy thing about it. Jesus, we all know Jesus. We all love Jesus. Jesus came, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, rose from the grave for the whole of humanity, right? But he entrusted the people that he was with the mission to tell others about it. Jesus did the deed. He was the sacrifice. But then he gets raised from the grave, goes, sees his people. They're scared in a room. He walks through the walls. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, first and foremost, Jesus, you could have knocked. Why? Who just walks through the doors? Like, walks through the wall? He walks through the walls. Freaks them out a bit. He says, peace be to you. Receive Holy Spirit. They're freaked out. And then for the next 40 or some odd days, they're with Jesus. And Jesus tells them this, to stay in the city and wait on the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there's a mission. The mission in Acts 1:8. Woo! Acts chapter verse 8 says this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and guess what, that last part, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witness. You will be my witness. What's the byproduct of being with Jesus? You're a witness now. You see, that moment that you had with God, that wasn't just for you. That was for them. What was broken off of your life, that wasn't just for you. That was for them. That lie that you always believed in, then you were like, wait a second, I know who I am now. That wasn't just for you. That was for them. You see, when you're with Jesus, you're looking into his eyes, and his eyes are looking at the world. Jesus cares deeply for the world. And when you're with him, you start caring for the things that he cares about. You see, it's crazy to me that God can do anything. He could do anything. But he chooses to do things with us. He chooses to do things with us. That's his whole desire, is that man, that you would catch his heart and that you would desire to do things with him. Your school, what's he really feel about your school? Pastor Sam, you don't understand where I'm at. Your family, you don't know what family I'm in. What does God actually feel about where you are? You see, man, all of history is about people who have taken their moment and took that as an invitation. That was the stepping point. That was the stepping stone. We take a moment and we become a movement. Moments equal the invitation to be in God's story. And when you're in God's story, guess what? You make history. Because actually, it's his story. It's his story. Listen, man, I'm looking for somebody who would be crazy enough to believe what's in this book. I'm looking for somebody who's crazy enough to believe that, man, that moment that you had with God meant something. That it was worthy enough to be shared. I love revival history. I love revival history. I didn't know about revival history until I was 21. I didn't know about these crazy, crazy moves of God where literally it shook nations, it shaped nations. I didn't know that, man, that kids our age started things. I didn't know that, man, that dark, dark places were swept with the glory of God, to the point where people were trying to figure out, why isn't there a pub open in a village like this? Oh, haven't you heard? There was revival here 4 years ago. People had moments with God and took it as an invitation. I'm going to share something. In the early 1800s, there's a thing called the Student Volunteer Missions Movement. It started with some five young men who were gripped with the heart of God about the world, about the gospel reaching the ends of the earth. They were so gripped with God that in the middle of a storm, they started, it was a super massive storm, and they were like, oh man, we got to find somewhere to hide. They hid under a haystack, and while they were there, they were just started talking more and more about these things that were gripping their heart. And they started to determine, oh wait, I feel like God wants us to go to the nations. How are we going to change the world? There's a guy named Samuel Mills. He said this: we can if we will. We can if we will. What do you do from this moment? What do you share that with? Who do you share that with? What if you get rejected? Well, what if you don't? Well, what if you look like a fool? What if somebody gets changed? You know, five young men in the span of 20 years turned into 20,000 missionaries, to the point where they filled the whole earth with the gospel. Last story. There's a guy named Brian Barcelona in California. Joker is a sign and a wonder, because I was like, brother, you're in Compton. You're in Watts. You in the hood. you with some gangbangers. What is happening? Why is he there? He's hosting a little a Jesus club at the high school. He goes into the high school, and the first club meeting that they have six people that come. Six. He asks the question, hey, what do you think God can do in your school? Hey, what do you think God can do in your school? Hey, what do you think? They start sharing, oh yeah, God can save. God, somebody. One girl blurts out, I think God can take my school. I think God can take my school. He says, I can work with that. Six in a span of a year in a club goes to 600. What can God do with your yes? Amen?
Come on, somebody say from moments. Come on, somebody say from moments to movements. Man, aren't those cool stories? From 300 to 600, man. What would happen if God got completely a hold of you? Like, can we let that question sink in for a second? Like, because all these stories that we share, man, yo, we can go through a list of so many stories of these young men and women who just let God possess them to take over their environment. You know, I think of guys like Evan Roberts in Wales, where Evan Roberts would be in a coal mine, just praying all day. Say, God, give me whales or I'll die. God, give me whales or I'll die. And you just be in a coal mine, man, just hacking away and praying, you know, and saying, God, we have to prepare the sacrifice. God, we have to build the altar. And finally, his pastor let him preach his message. And the Spirit of God broke out all over Wales, to the point where a whole island, a whole nation got saved. In a span of 3 years, the cops had to be called one time to get a cat out of a tree. The cops had to be called one time. Come on, what would happen If God got a hold of you, come on, what would happen if God got a hold of your high school? Come on, if you let God fully possess you. Come on, if you let God take over. See, we were talking yesterday about this message, and this question came up, you know, and it was like, God, what's your dream for my school? Come on, God, what's your dream for my school? Are you guys awake tonight? You guys awake tonight? Come on, what's God's dream for your high school? You know, I love that the Bible says that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession. Amen. I wonder what his prayers are for Kate Fear. Come on, I wonder what his prayers are for Jack Britt. Come on, I wonder what his prayers are for Terry Sanford, for Westover. Come on, for Methodist University, man, for Fayetteville State. Come on, for Reed Ross. For John Griffin. I don't know any middle schools. I'm trying to think of them. Max Abbott. I said Kate Fear. Mac Williams. Where? 71st? Classical. All right. There's a lot of schools. We've established that. But check it out, man. Check it out. Like, what's God's dream for your school? Because if I can be honest with you, man, I think God's prayers are a little bit bigger than, God, I just want to make good grades. Come on, I think God's prayers are a little bit bigger than, God, I just want to fit in this year. Come on, God, I just want to look good this year. God, I just want to make it through without any drama. Girl, you are homeschooled. If you had drama in your home, that's your own fault. But check it out, man. Like, I think God's prayers are bigger. And what if we begin asking God, what are your prayers for my school? Come on, God, what's your heart? Come on, God, I want to see the lost like you see the lost. God, I want to see the person that's going to hell like you see the person that's going to hell. Come on, what if we begin praying dangerous prayers? Come on, prayers that were more than just a prayer centered around me and my circle and how I can succeed and how I can be liked. Started praying prayers like, God, give me Kate Fear or I'll die. God, give me Reed Ross. God, would you wake me up in the middle of the night for intercession? Come on, God, would you put the burden of souls on my life? Come on, because you're not in your environment just to make good grades. Yes, that's important. Yes, that's awesome. But there's more. Like, we need to start thinking kingdom. Like, we need to start thinking kingdom. Listen, God is waiting. God is waiting, man, for someone to really grab a hold of this. Come on, God is waiting for someone to stop playing cute Christianity. Come on, God is waiting for someone to grab his heart. For their high school, for their middle school, for their college campus. See, because God is after your yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. And God is after your yes. Is that in order for God's dream to happen, he needs a man in the earth to say yes. Hear me. In order for God's dream to happen, he needs a man in the earth to say yes. You know, and the Bible says, man, that God's eyes are searching to and fro, man, back and forth. And the Bible says, man, it just one man will stand in the gap. Come on, you don't need 10, you don't need 50, man, you don't need 100 in your school, all you need is you. Come on, God is looking for one true yes. One true yes. That's all he wants. That's all he's looking for. Amen? See, your yes has power. The will of God being carried out in the earth in this time, in this season, is dependent upon your yes. See, What if no one in your school says yes? Because, like, don't we always, like, put it off on someone else and say, God, like, someone else will say yes? Like, someone else will be crazy for you? You know, I love it. I was on Instagram the other day, and, man, I love Todd White. Oh, my goodness. He's amazing. All right. And, Mooney, what's the building where the Constitution is held? I should know this. This is un-American of me. Forgive me. Okay, he was in the Capitol. Thank you. Okay. Here Todd White is. He's in the Capitol building. The public Capitol building where everyone's at. And Todd White is singing at the top of his lungs, God, turn this nation back to you. Like, just looking absolutely crazy. But, man, I think God loves that. And I think that's what God is waiting for. Come on, man. I think God is waiting for a young person who's willing to say, God, I don't care how dumb I look. Come on, God, I don't care how stupid I look. God, I don't care if I'm rejected. Man, because the state of their soul matters more than my comfortability. You know, so tonight, man, wrapping up this message, if you're going to say yes, saying yes requires two things. I'm going to say two things. Is that number one, you got to get in alignment. Somebody say alignment. God is looking for someone to come in alignment with his will and his heart. Amos 3:3 says this. It says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Listen, God already has a direction. God already has a dream. Man, God already has a plan. And once again, he's waiting for someone to say, God, I want to get in alignment. How many of you guys drive? Do we got any drivers in the room tonight? Got any drivers in the room tonight? How many of you guys have ever had your alignment on your car off before? Right? Because the alignment on your car is off. It stinks. It's bad, right? What happens? You're driving. You take your hands off the wheel. The car goes, oh, my God, we're going to die. Listen, God is waiting for someone to get their alignment fixed with his will and his plan and his heart and his dream. And someone that's willing to say, God, I want to pray the prayers that you're praying for my high school. God, I want to pray the prayers that you're praying for my campus. See, like, I got to close, man, but, like, what if you were in the middle of math class and the Spirit of God hit you and you stood up and you started prophesying? What? Then that led to revival in your school. It's like, man, there's a story I love where the Spirit of God fell and it gripped a high school. And all of a sudden, the students in that class just began weeping. In this one particular class, they began weeping. And Pastor Sam knows the story better than me. But they began, like crying out over the state of their soul. Like, the whole class did. Then the teacher walks out in the hallway and he sees other teachers in the hallway. They go, hey, what's going on in your classroom? Man, our kids are beginning to cry out for God. What started it? I have no clue. Like, what if everyone in your high school, man, everyone in your class, man, begin crying out for God to come? Man, crying out over the state of their souls because you begin to stand up. Man, because you begin to put the Father's heart in your heart. Number two is this. You got to pay the price. Last verse, Luke chapter 14, verse 28 through 30. It says this, so don't follow me without considering what it will. Come on, what it will? Come on, what it will? For who would construct a house before first sitting down to estimate the? To complete it. Otherwise, he would lay the foundation and not be able to finish. The neighbors will ridicule him, saying, look at him, he started to build but couldn't complete it. Likewise, unless you surrender all to me, giving up all you possess, you cannot be one of my disciples. So what's the cost? What's the cost of seeing revival in your school, man? What's the cost of seeing God break out in your school? Man, what's the cost of seeing the dream of God come to pass? It's surrendering all. That's it. It's that simple. It's surrendering all. So I want to leave you with this thought tonight, because we're going to pray for you guys here in just a second. In fact, if the prophetic team can go ahead and come on up front for me. The prophetic team can go ahead and come on up front. Y'all can just line up across the front. I have worship team. If you guys want to go ahead and get in place. What was the thought I was going to leave you with? Surrender all. Here it is, right here. God has a plan for you this year in your high school. Look at me. God has a plan for you this year in your high school. And it's bigger than grades. It's bigger than your social status. It's bigger than looking good, looking cool, whatever your other plan is. But it's kingdom.